This podcast is part of Podcast One Sportsnet.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Saving money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
March Madness continues to be the talk of the sports world as we get down to the final teams. And here at Podcast One Sportsnet, we are competing against one another again in the Sportsnet bracket presented by our exclusive partners at betonline.ag. Get in on the action at betonline.ag. Use the promo code PODCAST1 for your 50% welcome bonus.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Wednesday! And thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. You know, send in the happy birthday messages, because today is the day. Yours truly, celebrating a birthday. And I'm glad you all could join me for a little talk, because maybe I got an early birthday present. You know, yesterday I see that Jeremy Stevens has decided to call out Justin Gaethje. I don't know why. I don't know why those guys want to fight. I hear they're not even in the same weight class. They want to fight, I'm on board. They want to fight, I want to watch. So maybe something happens there. Maybe something does happen there. And I know so many people don't like the changing of the weight classes, but who cares? Let's start to see it. You got somebody better you want to see Jeremy Stevens fight? Do you know anybody that wants to fight Justin Gaethje? Come on. Maybe that makes a level of sense. You know, Gaethje came out, by the way, after his fight with Barboza, and he made a comment along the lines of, my style would give Khabib problems. Something along those lines. I like that fight. I like that fight. You know, don't forget, the driver's seat appears to be open for Khabib right now. You know, we didn't know when Khabib was going to come back. He got a year suspension, or he got a 6-month suspension and said, I'm going to sit a whole year. Something like this. Something. Dana recently came out in an interview with a sports show in Las Vegas, a little local sports show, and said, hey, Khabib will be back in September. So when you start to look at how that can line up, somebody needs to be there to face him. And if that person isn't going to be named Conor McGregor, if Tony Ferguson is on the sidelines for a little bit, I get that we have Poirier and Max. I get that. I get that that's what we're being told. But I think there's some moving parts to that too. Is Max going to stay up if he beats Poirier? Does Max want to go back down to 145 and defend that belt? Is Max just going to leave 45 and he gets stripped of that belt and moves up to 55? I don't know that these are even all that hard of questions to answer, but you have to go in line. You can't answer them right now. Max and Poirier have to go out in there and fight. If Poirier gets the jump on Max, then that would add to the fact that, okay, Max is done at 155 and going to go back to 145. I would think that that would be an added encouragement. I'll just go back down here. I'm still the world champion. Nothing to see. But let's see what happens. Let's just see what happens there. I'm not predicting for you guys any more that Jeremy Stevenson and Justin Gaethje are going to fight than I am that Justin Gaethje and Khabib are going to fight. At least not next. But there does seem to be some things that would point in the support of that. If you guys like the idea, make your voices heard. That's how fights get made, right? Fighters come out. They say, we're willing. I'm willing. Boom. Then we wait to hear from you guys. If you like the idea, it can get pushed forward. There would be something that would seem to line up there, though. Gaethje's going to have to fight somebody between now and Khabib. As hot and bright and shiny as his star is right now, man, it goes fast. This sport goes really fast. You see another 155-pounder fight, and you go, okay, that's the fight I want to see, and everybody else gets left behind. So he needs something to do. And I also think a fight between Gaethje and Khabib, just to share with you guys, right? There's politics in this sport. Maybe more in this sport than any other sport. To share with you guys, they have the same manager. So the manager's not going to get in the way. He's not going to say we want something else for Khabib and slight his own protege in Gaethje. Manager's going to go, look, if I can get two guys, a title fight and a main event in the same night, even if against each other, I have more than succeeded at my job. It's a little backstory there. But Gaethje, Khabib, I get that it's not next. I don't want to hear that in the comment section. But I will also tell you, I'm very interested in that. I am. And that's before you even get into the X's and O's and who would win and who's striking's better and who's wrestling's better and who can push harder for five rounds. It's before you get into any of that. Justin Gaethje does make a fair point when he says, I'm one. It's a broad statement. There was nothing arrogant about it. He said, I'm one of the biggest threats. That's true. That is absolutely true. Justin Gaethje is one of the biggest threats. You can fill in the name after that. His statement was to Khabib Nurmagomedov. You can fill in the blank. He's a top fighter in the world. Joe Rogan came out and called him the most violent guy in the UFC. Tremendous compliment. But I don't know about that. Don't forget about the great marketing ploy of 2018. Eddie Alvarez was getting ready to fight Justin Gaethje. Eddie Alvarez came out and said, this is for the title of UFC's most violent man. Everybody, that caught on. I didn't even know that Eddie's the one that created that hashtag. I thought like the UFC came out and said, this is for the title of most violent man because it caught on so well. That was out there for like 3 weeks before I found out that Eddie had created it. Justin got on board with it. Justin started saying, yeah, that's what we're fighting for. The UFC got on board. The media got on board. Other fighters got on. I got on board. Alvarez beat him. Alvarez is the most violent man. And before you guys come, I don't want any fact checkers out there. Well, you know, Eddie's not in the UFC. He's over at one. Yeah, I got it. I got it. MMA, broad strokes here. But maybe in his absence, maybe it does by default go to Gaethje. I just think it has to be called ahead of time. That's what I would tell Joe Rogan. Has to be called ahead of time, not after the fact. Because it's a tremendous title. And there is something very special when Gaethje fights. I'll be curious who his next opponent is, though. You know, don't forget, a guy like that, that fights that violent, if that's the word we're using, that ferocious, that high pressure, that right in your face, that secret wrestling weapon that he never pulls out. He always goes to his second best weapon, which is his stand-up, and he still gets his hand raised. A guy like that, scary. Who's going to fight him? Somebody that gets a phone call and says, hey, here's the offer and here's what we want to do and here's the opportunity and here's what's on the line. Yeah, I guess we can go out and try to talk a guy into it. I mean, that's kind of the way the sport is played. I will concede to that. But Jeremy Stephens is a willful participant who raised his hand and raised it before everybody else. I'm on the bandwagon. It's enough to win me over. I'm on the bandwagon. Unless you guys have a better idea, I would love to hear it. You got to have two ideas. You got to tell me who would you rather see Stephens fight and who would you rather see Gaethje fight. You got to solve both problems. If you can't solve them both, let's put them together. That's what I'm thinking about. Okay, guys, I have to tell you, amateur wrestling talk, Bo Nickel won the Hodge Award. Well-deserved, and that's who I had winning as well. And it was probably a little bit awkward because it came down to him and his own teammate, Jason Nolf. And both were really great arguments. And I don't really like some of the criteria that they're doing for the Hodge Award now. For the Hodge Award now. They have an actual criteria process. That's a bunch of crap. That should be thrown out. I know that got put in place to clean it up and make it fair and make it more established. That is garbage. Everybody knows when they watch a collective body of work known as a season, they know who the best wrestler was, and that's who's supposed to win the Hodge. Do records matter? Yeah, sure they do. Do titles matter? Yeah, you bet they do. But pins and tech falls and takedowns and dominance, that's garbage. If one guy's in a much tougher weight than another guy, he's not going to have the same spread between competition. Best guy should get the award. In this case, best guy got the award. But for future, that's the way that has to go. If they're all coming forward and saying that 133 pounds is the toughest weight in the country, in fact, the toughest weight that the country has ever even seen, then the winner of 133 wins the Hodge. That's the way that that goes. Instead of this was looked at differently. It wasn't just about end of the season. Wasn't just about results. Was collective body. Was about conference tournaments. Was about showing up for every single match. There was some parity there. Nickel moved up a weight class, right into a brick wall. Known as a world team member, and Colin Moore got it done. Got it done two or three times throughout the season. In addition to other good wins. So congratulations to Bo Nickel. Congratulations to wrestling for getting it right. But in the future, that criteria you're going off of for the Hodge is going to bite you in the ass. It's going to bite you. Get away with that. Get away from it right now. The award goes to the best wrestler, and he doesn't have to beat everybody by 20 points. He can have overtime matches and close matches and sudden victory matches if he's in the toughest weight class. Just dismiss Mark Hall and Zahid. They're both national champions in the same weight class. We want to encourage that. We want to encourage iron on top of iron. We want to encourage those kind of parodies. Saturday Night, Finals, ESPN, Red Corner, Blue Corner. Let's figure this thing out. Encourage that. Don't put a Hodge trophy up and then put a bunch of criteria that would make guys want to go and find an easy route so they can get major decisions and pinfalls and tech falls and all this other stuff. And that's what that's doing. If you have a criteria, keep it very quiet. Keep it for whoever the criteria committee is. We should not know. That award goes to the best wrestler of the season in college wrestling. The end. Quit showing us how the sausage is made. Don't let us into the weeds. You're ruining it. Whatever Brainiac, and I know how these things go. Well, you know, we got to have some criteria. We got to let everybody in. No, you don't. You just, at the end of the year, when you give that trophy out, need to put it around the right guy. That's it. That's your job. Nothing else. You're getting in your own way. Mark my words. Okay. Some personal stuff. Submission Underground will be showed on UFC Fight Pass May 12th. Card is coming together. Tickets are on sale. I'll tease you guys a little bit. Craig Jones will be in the main event. I will let you know who his opponent is going to be. Frank Mir will be on the card, taking on Fabiano Scherner. Chris Lieben will be on the card against Jake Shields. That's an interesting match. Jake Ellenberger and Diego Sanchez will be on the card in a rematch. A lot more coming. I got to hold a couple of my cards close, but May 12th is right around the corner. Tickets are on sale, and there's the plug, Submission Underground, coming at you. Oh, guys, by the way, I saw a real piece of crap last night. Oh, I saw a movie. I can't even tell you the name of it, but I'm going to tell you about it because I think you should see it, even though it's a piece of crap. I enjoyed every minute of it. Mel Gibson and Vince Vaughn, okay? I mean, that's a great duo. I saw this thing. I'm looking at it going, I'm a movie guy. Did this go straight to DVD type thing? There's no way that was in the theaters and they did a media tour and I missed that. Vince Vaughn and Mel Gibson, come on, I would have heard about that. This movie was garbage. I bet you it did go right to DVD. The editing was bad. The direction was bad. The cinematography was bad. I enjoyed every bit of this movie. It was just fun. I can't give the ending away, but I want to. If I gave the ending away, I think that would help to describe for you guys why I liked this. But it did take some interesting twists and turns, regardless of the low budget and poor team that put it together. At the end of the day, they still get some credit. I still got to give it 2 thumbs up. March Madness rolls along with another very exciting week of college basketball as we've gone from 64 teams down to the Final Four. This Saturday, it's the biggest game of the year before the national championship, and the Sportsnet Bracket Challenge presented by BetOnline.ag continues as You're Welcome and Chael Sonnen compete against other Podcast One Sportsnet shows. You still have time to get in on the action. Just sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag. Use the promo code Podcast1 and your 50% welcome bonus will be delivered to you instantly. And if your bracket's been busted, don't sweat it, because you've still got a chance to fire up and win some cash in your BetOnline.ag account. It's the Sportsnet Bracket Challenge presented by BetOnline.ag. March Madness is now down to the Final Four. It is go time. Don't forget to use the promo code Podcast1 at BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Oh, you know what? Let me back up to Submission Underground. I had a couple of interesting things happen. So first off, Bo Nickel, who won the Hodge Award, okay? ESPN, main event, if you will, last match of the night. Somewhere, and for some reason, and I don't know what in the hell was missed here, somewhere he calls out Ben Askren. Well, what's Ben supposed to do other than accept? But where are they going to wrestle? So I get a hold of both of them and go, let's do it in Submission Underground. We'll do this. We'll go takedowns only. Best of 7. So first 1 to 4, matches stop, raise their hand. Everybody's going to understand that. Everybody's going to have fun. Right. Instead of trying to explain this to the submission grappling audience, everybody's going to get the takedowns and everybody wants to see that match. So let's do it. Boom. They're both in on board. Whole thing's locked up. Bo Nickel calls back. He goes, look, I didn't look at my calendar. I have the world team trials the next weekend. I can't be out in Portland in an open weight match, catch an airplane, try to cut weight, get down to 92. I can't do it. I screwed this up. Give me another date. My word's good. So, Bo, time out. No problem. That's what we'll do. We'll find another date and do it. In the meanwhile, Craig Jones's opponent falls out for the main event. He was supposed to take on Vinny Magalhães. So Vinny ends up getting a fight in Professional Fight League. 20 days later, can't do it. Okay, great. Go to Andre Galvão, interested, couldn't do it. Go to Josh Barnett. Josh Barnett, interested, needs 2 days to get back to me. So 2 days to get back to me. This is Sunday, by the way. 2 days to get back to me. Boom. On Monday, he goes on Ariel's show at 10 a.m., signs a contract with Bellator, gets a hold of me, says everything came together, can't do the match, taking a fight instead. Well, that was kind of cool. I don't really know what held Josh up so much, quite frankly. I mean, it always seemed like that's where he was. As soon as he left the UFC, and he didn't get cut. This was a while ago, and I don't really remember all the circumstances around it, but he didn't get cut. Maybe he fought out his contract. Maybe he asked for a release. It kind of happened quietly, and my memory isn't totally there on what happened. But as soon as it did happen, I thought, well, he'll be coming back over with Coker, who used to promote him under the Strikeforce banner. And it just didn't happen. Josh didn't come. Then we had a heavyweight tournament coming up. I think, okay, Josh is going to get announced. He's going to jump right into the tournament. Didn't happen. And then there was a little bit of time somewhere along the way where Fedor needed an opponent. I can't remember what happened, but somewhere along the way, Fedor was looking for an opponent, which again ties back to Josh Barnett. And ties back to a fight that people have been wanting to see since the Affliction days. I'm one of those people. I wanted to see that fight. No Josh Barnett. So he goes on Ariel's show. He pulls out a piece of paper. Doesn't even alert Helwani as to what he's doing. Ariel said, what are you doing? Hey, Josh, we're live. If you're going to work this into my segment, you got to bring me in. What are you doing? So then Josh holds it up and shows Ariel, and boom, he'd signed a Bellator contract. But one thing that was interesting about it, I can at least tell you with my experience with Bellator. When I signed with Bellator, the day of signing the contract was also the day I signed a bout agreement. Meaning I knew who my opponent was. I knew what the date was. I knew what the weight class was. I now have something to tell the world. Not just I signed. And if you would like to see me, mark this date or show up to this venue. So that's what I was waiting for with Josh. I was waiting for Josh to say, and I will be fighting, fill in the blank. In this, maybe I've got it. Maybe Fedor does make some sense, doesn't it? Because don't forget what Coker wanted to do. Coker wanted to get Krokop and Fedor back in there again. And then Mirko beats Roy Nelson and retired. Remember, he had that stroke or something where he said, I'm done. I'm not taking any more punches. Boom, he's gone. It appears that there's somebody that needs to fill that seat. And Josh Barnett versus Fedor, at least for me, works. At least for me, that really works. And I don't know what Fedor wants to do, by the way. You know, he came to the heavyweight tournament. He came in with the silver medal. A lot of us thought that either way, he was going to ride off into the sunset. But there's been no talk of that. There's also been no talk that he's getting back in the gym and he's looking to come. And maybe he's going to be standing opposite Josh Barnett. But I would offer for you guys, get your predictions in now, because I'm guessing, I'll bet you I'm right, that Josh is sitting on it. I think Josh does have an opponent. I think Josh does have a date. Loosely, I think it could be with Fedor, but there's other guys in there. There's other guys, so I'm not bullish on that. But I do think that Josh is holding back. And I think that maybe I have inside knowledge by him calling me and going, hey, I can't take on Craig because I got this fight coming up. Which I remember thinking, you didn't announce a fight. You only announced that you had a contract. So I think Josh is sitting on something. We'll have to wait and see where that goes.
You're listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Save big money on your entire roofing project now at Menards. Protect your home for years to come with Owens Corning Architectural Shingles. They offer long-lasting performance while providing ultimate protection with a 130 miles per hour wind rating and limited lifetime warranty. Choose from over 50 options of Owens Corning shingles in-store and on Menards.com. And check out more of our great deals going on now.
Save big money at Menards.
Alexa isn't the only one with breaking news. Make sure to hang around at the end of this podcast for the latest breaking headlines on the AP News Minute.
Podcast One Sportsnet is your home for the best coverage of the Final Four in this year's March Madness.
Get all the play-by-play and top-notch analysis from sportscasting gurus like Dan Patrick and Rich Eisen. Then put in your bets with betting expert RJ Bell on RJ Bell's Dream Preview. And laugh out loud with the biggest name in the game, literally, on The Big Podcast with Shaq. Download new episodes of these shows and more every week. Podcast One Sportsnet.
I know my listeners out there are training hard and striving to be the best. Well, if you want to get that Olympic competitive edge, then hear me out about our sponsor, Biotropic Labs. Biotropic Labs is a premium custom formulation sports supplement company delivering measurable results to athletes and people who move. Their founder, Craig, has roots in world and Olympic class competition, so he knows what you're looking for. Craig began experimenting with a stack of unusual ingredients to formulate an array of supplements that really bumped up his training, giving him better competitive outcomes. As a result, Biotropic Labs and their flagship formulas focus on blood oxygenation, providing a nitric oxide effect that relaxes the blood vessel walls. This is critical for energy and that oxygen-carrying red blood cell support. Go to www.biotropiclabs.com. That's biotropiclabs.com. And use the promo code SHALE at checkout to get 20% off Biotropic Labs' flagship and premium products, plus free shipping. And for listeners of this show only, you will receive anytime returns on one-time purchases, plus save even more money when you choose auto ship, bringing your total discount to 30%. Again, that's www.biotropiclabs.com and use the promo code SHALE at checkout for 20% off flagship and premium products plus free shipping.
Now back to your welcome with Chael Sonnen.
So a number of weeks ago we had an attorney on here, Clifton Molitor, and we were talking about the college admissions scandal. Where did that happen? I think it was Harvard. USC was brought into that. Maybe Yale was brought in. A few different schools. We're talking about the ins and outs and the legality. And I'm just watching this thing play out. And I don't know this gal's name. Lori something. Lori Loughlin. I don't know how to say her last name. She was on Full House, a show I used to watch. I think she played Aunt Becky. At any rate, that's how I know her. Then there's another gal named Felicity Huffman, who I am very familiar with. I like her work. She was fine in Desperate Housewives. She was great in Three Billboards outside Ebbing, Missouri. And she's married to the guy from Shameless. What's that guy's name, Nick, from Shameless? William something. William, he's very famous. What is it?
William Macy.
William Macy. All right. So, and I don't think those two women teamed up. I don't think they were together. I think they just both happened to be women, and they both just happened to be actresses in Hollywood. I think. I've never heard the story where they, like, went on this together. But either way, so they get jammed up, and now Lori's at least come out and apologized. Oh, I'm sorry for doing that. I'm kind of looking around going, really? Are you really? I mean, have a backbone in this thing. Have some strength in this thing. You're going to get one side that's saying how wrong this was, but you're going to get other people are going to come out and go, you did something to help your kid. I mean, I wanted to get my kid in, so I spent a bunch of money too. And I got him into extra clicker things so that his resume looked good. And, you know, I was getting him tutored, and I was paying good money for that. And I was paying a bunch of money to private schools, and I was just, you know, donating to teams to get the coaches to write. I spent a bunch of money, too. You found a way to do it a little bit quicker than I did. You're going to have people to say that. I don't want an opinion from you guys to whether that's right or not. That's not the stance I'm taking. What I am taking is for her to come out as a parent and find somebody that's willing to take her money to broker a deal. You can come out and apologize for that? That seems to make a level of sense. That part of it seems to make a level of sense. Seems to be what everybody else is doing. Seems to be the reason that the parents go to the private schools and get the tutors and get on the fancy club and sports teams and try to get their kids recruited. Seems like we're all going in the same direction. They spent their money in other places to build up a resume to get in. You found a guy that said, just give me the money and I'll get it in. I mean, there seems to be something here where I don't think you're going to have to come out on a big apology tour as much as just tell the story the way that the story happens. Those facts may not be wonderful for you, but those facts are also not as terrible for you as other people are trying to paint this. There's just not. I listened to the DA come out, who was the one that was coming down on all of it, and he said in his speech, hey, we realize that things like this happen all the time. If somebody donates, this is his words, if somebody comes out and donates hundreds of millions of dollars and gets a building on campus put with their name on it, yeah, they're going to have some favors. But this is a little different because it wasn't done as quite out in the open. Man, I don't know about that. It sounds like you're saying the same thing. It sounds like you were saying the same thing to me. That sounds the exact same thing to me. I'm well aware of the heartfelt argument that the kids whose parents didn't have those connections got left out. I just think you're missing the argument that those schools at the highest of levels are a business. And as a guy that went to the school and whose dad spent the money and I gave up the time and I went and got certified smart so that I could look down on everybody else and pretend I was in a higher group than that, man, what are you guys doing? That's all part of marketing of the schools. It was nothing more than a really goddamn good time. That was it.
Well, he could get a really great degree from Yale.
What do you think they have at Yale? What do you think they have at Harvard? They got some golden book that I can't go check out at any other library? Do you not see the marketing ploy? These are just a business. You get a bunch of uppity pricks that didn't want to go out and join the workforce, and they found a way to get out of the workforce for 4 years, and all the while society raised them up to act as though they were the higher bunch of society. Well, the real members of society that are moving the world forward are out working. Maybe it's because they wanted to. Maybe they couldn't get in. Maybe they just didn't see the advantages. But either way, to act as though the marketing and act as though the business side of the education isn't there. And I'm really not seeing this, guys. What is the difference if somebody donates a couple of $100 million and builds a school, which is the example that was given? Not by me. That's the example that was given by the guy who's coming after him and therefore has the right to call in favors and get people that didn't have the SAT score, didn't have the resume, didn't have the community service, all the things that would different administrations would look at and be able to get them in off of a phone call. And we've all heard those stories. I could tell you a ton of those stories where somebody got to the biggest donor of the school and got a favor call. I could tell you a ton of those. There's nothing underhanded about that at all. And that's not my opinion. That's according to the guy who's coming after them. Now, they want to come out and say, oh, I'm really sorry I did this. You're really sorry you did this, or you're really sorry that you got caught doing this? Because there's a meaningful difference. And I do think that it's a very weird thing to start with, right? If you ask the parent, okay, why do you want your kid to go to one of these schools? And first off, USC, not for nothing. I have friends from, come on. USC is now all of a sudden a really good school with some kind of tough admission standards in the same conversation as Yale and Harvard? I mean, excuse me. Excuse me, parents, but not exactly money well spent. What was your kid's SAT score that you needed to cheat the system to get into USC? I mean, what, did he have a 680? Is that what happened? Cheat the system to get into USC? I mean, come on, they should be getting a refund on their money. But either way, let's take a little closer look. Hey, parents, just tell me this just so I can unpack this whole thing. Why did you try to rig this? Why did you try to get advantages for your kid? Well, I wanted to get a good education. Okay, great, but tell me why. Well, because I wanted to get a good job. Okay, but tell me why. Well, because I wanted to make good money someday. Okay, great, because it sounds like I can just tell you right now how your kid can have a whole bunch of money. Sounds like I could just go A to Z and we could leave this criminal act out of it. By the way, I mean, it's USC. Who are you going to impress with the USC? I went to the University of Oregon. I'm in the same boat, same league, same conference, okay? So before anybody comes down on me, I'm just being real about it. You should not be impressed that I got a degree from the University of Oregon if you're talking about Harvard and Yale. But you also shouldn't have to cheat to get yourself into UFC. Just go to, what's that online university? Phoenix? Phoenix Online? Go there. It's the same thing. Our friends at Geico want to save you some cash, and even better, they want to save you some time. You don't even have to leave your house, guys. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just might be the most rewarding thing you do today. You know, Paul Felder took a little bit of heat. Paul Felder and Karen Bryant actually took heat. Let me tell you guys what happened. Let's back up. Karen Bryant, Paul Felder, and Tyron Woodley are on the desk for ESPN when Gaethje fights Barboza. So fights are over. Gaethje gets invited up to do an interview. Now, I have to tell you right out of the gate, Paul Felder and Karen Bryant take a little bit of heat. Somehow, Tyron Woodley, even though he was there, no trouble whatsoever. But I have to say, I don't think Karen or Felder did anything wrong. Here's what happened before I bury my lead too much. Felder called out Gaethje in a very calm and a very matter-of-fact way where he simply said, I really like your style. And the fans seem to also really like my style. And we're in the same weight class. And we both, these weren't his words, but This is what he said. We both know how this works. They're looking to put on really exciting fights. We both qualify as that in the same way. We're going to have to fight sooner or later. And I will say he did it in a very good way. I've actually never seen Paul Felder stub his toe, never once, on TV. And he's done some things that some guys couldn't get away with, but he has a way of being very calm and very sincere. When he says to you, Justin, respectfully, why don't we just move forward together and call for this fight? Because they're going to be calling for it sooner or later. Why don't we just do it? He has a way of presenting it that is extremely professional, and he didn't upset Gaethje in the least. But after the fact, Justin pushed back a little bit and goes, man, that was my 15 minutes. I came up there as a favor, and then I got called out. I'm not crazy about that. I understand, but this is the business. This is simply how the business goes. And Justin, as soon as you get your hand raised and everything is going great, the only thing you need, it's not a celebration and it's not 2 weeks off like fighters think. The only thing you need is to know what's next. The second the marketing for one fight ends, the marketing for the next fight begins. And if you got called up there and Felder did it in a respectful way, and I think by Justin's reaction that Justin would fully agree with me that Felder was not mean or condescending or aggressive at all, as much as just going, hey, I think maybe this is our first face-off, even if unintentional. What do you think? I think that he's right about that. And I also think that it served Justin. I do think it served him. I do not believe that was an ambush by any kind, but that is why you get called up to set. You get called up. That's why they say, what's next for you? That's why they bring up the rankings and try to make the cases. And the fact that they're now having active and competitive athletes in the booth and doing those type things, look, this is going to arise. And if you want to push back and you stay professional, and Justin did push back. He said, it's one at a time. Look at the rankings. You got a couple in front of you. Good line by Justin. It was a good aggressive line. It didn't actually make me want to see the fight less. It made me want to see the fight more because now I know Justin can also stand toe-to-toe with a microphone with Paul Felder, who's pretty damn good at that. But I would just like to offer you my 2 cents for being on both sides of that. I have been a fighter that has gone up to do a favor and felt that I was outnumbered and I was ambushed by some kind of a commentating team who I then deduced on my own must have pre-worked that out and decided to make me look a fool. As I learn more about the business, I realize, no, this whole thing's just spontaneous. It's just I walked onto your set and I walk away and you guys were here before I got here and you guys are here after I'm going to leave. So it gave me the appearance of a team effort while I was up here, sore and tired, trying to give you guys a spot. I think there was enough room for misinterpretation, but for some reason, I do feel compelled. I guess because the respect that I have for Felder's work, and I know Karen, I'm not really sure how she got brought into it. I see why Tyron got left out of it, but I got to tell you, I've never seen Felder screw up. I really haven't, and this was not a screw-up as much as an opportunity that was taken, and it was also taken in the spirit of hail fellow well met. There was nothing underhanded about it. Let's take a moment to give a big thank you to TrueCar for being a loyal sponsor of this podcast. Guys, with TrueCar, 60 seconds is all you will need to get an offer for your vehicle in the amount of time it takes you to floss your teeth, pet your dog, or do a few of those New Year's sit-ups. You can get a true cash offer. Best of all, you can do it right from your smartphone, even from home. Just go to TrueCar. Simply enter your license plate number and watch how fast your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions and you will get an accurate true cash offer from a local TrueCar certified dealer. It is that easy. After that, bring in your vehicle. They'll check it out with you. They'll ask you a few questions. You'll give them a few answers so there's no surprises. Then simply leave with a check or trade in your vehicle for a new ride. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. True cash offers not available in all areas. Oh, so something happened yesterday. Nick, can you bring this up? Pauly Malignaggi and Artem Lobov, something to do with bare knuckle boxing. See if you can find that. So these guys got in some kind of a dust up yesterday. I thought they were getting ready to fight each other. I read that Artem and Pauly were going to go box in bare knuckle boxing. I get it. I get the Connor tie-in. I get the whole thing. Pauly's been wanting to fight with Connor. We've already seen from history's past, if you do something to Artem, maybe you can get Connor's attention, right? Okay. I guess I'm wrong. I guess these guys are not getting ready to fight one another, but they are both signed by the same promotion. So here, let me take a look at this.
Don't threaten me here. Don't threaten me here. Don't threaten me here. I'm rich. Every time I slap you, I'm a real bitch. All right? Don't get in my face and make threats here, okay? I got your face to promote. Don't get in my face and make threats here, because I'll hold you up here, okay? Next time, I'll smack the shit out of you for real. I smack you like a little bitch because that's what you are. All right. That's what you are.
Okay. Well, there was a lot going on there. I mean, first off, I got to tell you, that's a pretty good line by Pauly. That wasn't even an honest slap. That was a bitch slap for a bitch. End quote. Not a bad line. Successful promotion? Yeah, sure. Why? Because it was organic and it was real and it looked organic and it looked real. Whether it was or not. They still made me believe it. But I would be remiss if I did not tell you. I don't think Pauly wants to be slapping an MMA fighter in a street-style situation. If this was boxing rules, yeah, I think Pauly's got the jump. If they were getting ready to compete, I don't know that Pauly wants to be slapping Artem, but there it is. I mean, good line by Pauly? What do you think, Nick? Good line by Pauly? Not a bad line. What did Artem say back? I couldn't hear anything. Did he say anything?
I don't think so.
He just said nothing, or at least he said something. That was Artem trying to throw the kick, right? Okay, because there was all I could see in that video was his back. And then all of a sudden, some kick comes from 10 feet away, and then Pauly returns a punch from 4 feet away. That's still something to watch. I'm glad we had it. And speaking of had it, I've had it with all of you. But I'll see you again on Friday. Until then, I'm Chael Sonnen, and you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Hey, this is Jordan Harbinger, host of the not-so-creatively titled Jordan Harbinger Show. We dig into the superpowers of the world's most interesting thinkers, and then we deliver them to you right into your ears. It's more than just a way to get inspired, and I get it. We're not all superheroes. That's why we give you their blueprint and include worksheets for every episode, as well as answer your listener questions so you can live what you listen. Listen free to the Jordan Harbinger Show, available on Apple Podcasts and PodcastOne.com.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.